front row tonight asks whether his influence is still felt. John Wilson will hear from musicians and performers about what Stravinsky means to them and to music. That's at 7:15. And staying on that theme.
This summer, step into a magical world where extraordinary sounds emerge. Be whisked away to enchanting new places. And whether it's your first time or you're returning for more, the greatest adventure in classical music awaits you. The BBC Proms. Listen live on Radio 3 and on the BBC Sounds app.
Now on Radio 4, Paul Sinha welcomes you into his award-winning world of facts in Paul Sinha's General Knowledge.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Paul Sinha's General Knowledge, in which I, Paul Sinha, sharing a birthday with Kylie Minogue, a 1981 Croydon under-12 chess champion, and statistically in the bottom 10% of contestants on the TV show Taskmaster, tell you facts that maybe you didn't ever want to know. This seems as good a time as any to mention that the 11th ever Carry On film and the 11th episode of Mr. Ben were both called Cowboy. Or that in America, a cougar has become a nickname for a woman of a certain age with a predilection for younger men. But does anyone know what the word is for a woman who's grown out of being a cougar? It's a melon camp. Anyway, time is of the essence. John Finnemore has just announced plans for a European Super League of radio comedians. As a result, right now, the future of this show, and indeed Radio 4 in general, is very uncertain. We now have 26 minutes left. I now need to show the same calmness under pressure and devotion to duty as the US Rear Admiral at the August 1964 Gulf of Tonkin incident, which escalated aggression between the United States and North Vietnam. The Rear Admiral was George Morrison, and he'd always tell his son, "You have to fight fire with fire." And his son, rock musician Jim Morrison, would mishear this message completely. If you like that fact, you like the fact that the tennis player who's played more Davis Cup matches for Denmark in history is the father of Metallica's Lars Ulrich. "Can you stop with that awful racket?" Lars would say to his dad. Anyway, 26 minutes, we must move on. For this episode, we present to you the A to Z of facts. I will give my virtual audience a letter to start with, and the audience will give me a word that starts with that letter. And I'll give you a fact about the letter. Or possibly, if they don't give me the word I've prepared a fact for, I'll just read the script. Your letter is A. Can somebody give me a subject beginning with A?
Aubergine.
Aubergine is a euphemism for the male anatomy in emojis. What else did you give?
Alligator.
An alligator only lives in two countries. It only lives in China and America, nowhere else. The alligator rivers in Northern Territories in Australia are full of saltwater crocodiles. There's your fact. Hey. Thank you very much. Letter B. Anything for letter B?
Banana.
Banana. See what I said for aubergine earlier. Now, we've gone for B for Belgium. And although Belgium have provided great footballers, writers, cyclists, it may well be true that they're one of the two countries whose most famous fictional citizen is more famous than any of its real citizens. The other country is Kazakhstan. The other country is undoubtedly Kazakhstan, although whether we ourselves or anyone as famous as Mr. Bean is also up for debate. What you may not know is that it was believed that Tintin was based on a real person. The Danish newspaper Politiken ran a competition challenging people to travel around the world to commemorate the 100th birthday of the birth of Jules Verne. In what can only be described as it was a more innocent era, the competition was only eligible to unaccompanied teenage boys. I mean, presumably once you've grown out a Lego, you needed a new challenge. A 15-year-old boy called Palais Huld was working as a clerk in a car dealership and took on the venture and completed it in 44 days. It must have been the best paid car dealership in history. It has never been 100% confirmed whether he was the direct inspiration for Tintin, but Hergé neither confirmed nor denied it. Let us see.
Capybara
is the largest rodent in the world, and the second largest, the beaver, is the female equivalent of the aubergine and the banana. Anyway. C. Well, obviously it's me. What am I going to go for C? It's going to be cricket. But for this time, I'm not talking about the sport of cricket, but the insect. Although I will mention at this point that the European free-tailed bat is the only bat that eats crickets. So it's the only one that can be called a cricket bat. As for the insect, the cricket, it shares something with the Kazakhstanis and the Belgians. The most famous one is fictional. I am, of course, talking about Jiminy Cricket from Walt Disney's second full-length animated film, Pinocchio, adapted from the 1883 novel The Adventures of Pinocchio by Carlo Collodi. The original novel is literally the second most translated book in history. The most translated book also has a wise conscience character with the initials JC. He seems to have an answer for all the mysteries that life brings. That's right, the biography of Jeremy Corbyn. It isn't, of course, it's the Bible. And while I like that JC joke, Jiminy Cricket isn't actually called that in the book. He's called Talking Cricket, which is also the name of 11 different podcasts. And although Talking Cricket doesn't actually share his initials with Jesus Christ, he does suffer a remarkably similar fate, being killed by the people he seeks to help, as Pinocchio, in a flash of temper, throws a mallet at the loquacious insect. In both works, the character lives on. In one case, as a resurrected messiah. In the other, Talking Cricket is a deeply forgiving ghost. Wikipedia is also keen to tell us that the Disney cricket is not an accurate portrayal of an actual cricket. The reasons they give include the short antennae, the greenish-brown hue, and the four limbs. I mean, I would have gone for the blue top hat, the burgundy umbrella, and the ability to forgive being murdered. I bet you didn't think it was possible to get that much information out of a cinematic insect. What a ridiculous idea. Oh, yes, D. The Day of the Locust is a 1939 novel by Nathaniel West that was turned into a 1970s film starring Donald Sutherland as which character?
Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson is correct. Homer Simpson shares his name with another fictional Homer Simpson. They have very little in common apart from, perhaps, an official murder count of one. There is a brutal murder by Donald Sutherland's character, which is matched by Homer Simpson killing Ned Flanders in the episode Treehouse of Horror 10. Then there's the letter E. Anyone, ladies and gentlemen?
Elephants.
Elephants are the only animals with four knees, of course. They're members of the only order, Proboscidae. Anyone else?
Egrets.
Egrets? I've had a few. So... F, anyone?
Franz Ferdinand.
Freddie Mercury.
Billy
Fielding. Fielding.
Flatulence.
Where do we start? Franz Ferdinand had a hit with Take Me Out, which is allegedly what the Archduke said to Gavrilo Princip in 1914. That'll do. On to the letter G. Anyone?
Gallium.
Did someone say gallium? Gallium is one of two chemical elements named after the country France, along with francium, and it's actually a pun. The man who discovered it, Bois Boudrin, his name means rooster in French, and the national symbol of France is the rooster. So it's actually got a double meaning. That is a good fact about gallium. Now, we have gone for granddad. This is just to say that some people who are already famous have famous granddads. Or in the case of model Sophie Dahl, two famous granddads. Sophie Dahl's husband is which famous musician?
Jeremy Cullum.
Her mother was?
Neil.
No, that was her grandmother. Who was her mother?
Tessa Dahl.
Tessa Dahl, yes, famous writer and socialite. Tessa Dahl's dad was?
Roald Dahl.
Of whom I shall say no more, as I don't want to get into the same online arguments I did last year. Let's just say I was right. But who was Sophie Dahl's maternal grandmother, wife of Roald Dahl?
Patricia Neal,
the Oscar-winning actress Patricia Neal. Does anyone know who Sophie Dahl's maternal grandfather was?
Stanley Holloway.
Now we're talking. In the year 1964, one of Sophie Dahl's grandfathers starred in My Fair Lady, and the other wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, while one of her grandmothers picked up the Academy Award for Best Actress. Other British women in entertainment with famous grandfathers include Dame Angela Lansbury, whose grandfather, between 1932 and 1935, was the leader of the Labour Party, a job now held in such contempt it's now almost impossible to buy a pint in a pub in Bath. George Lansbury is one of the great kings of the art of grandparenting. His other grandchildren include Bruce Lansbury, producer of the TV shows Wonder Woman and Knight Rider. Another of his grandsons was the theatrical producer Edgar Lansbury. And another grandson, perhaps the most famous of the lot, was... Oliver Postgate, the creator of Bagpuss, Noggin the Nog and the Clangers. I love how many of you did Clangers voices just at the words Oliver Postgate there. We're now going to take inspiration from the NATO phonetic alphabet. H is for hotel. Over the course of four series of the television show The Real Marigold Hotel, 33 celebrities travelled to India to say if they'd consider living there. For those interested in the finer details, I'm counting the Crankies as two separate celebrities here. The 33 celebrities all decided, no, they wouldn't live in India. But the fee for the programme would come very handy for their tax bill. This was tragic news for India, who were on tenterhooks to see if Lionel Blair, Sid Little, Wayne Sleep or Bobby George would fulfil India's dreams and become citizens there. Sticking with the NATO phonetic alphabet, the letter I is for India. Over the course of four series of the television show The Real Marigold Hotel, 33 celebrities travelled to India to see if they'd consider living there. For those interested in the finer details, I'm counting the Crankies as two separate celebrities here. The 33 celebrities all decided, no, they wouldn't live in India, but the fee for the programme would come in handy for their tax bill. This was tragic news for India, who thought that I'd actually write a new bit for I, India. J is, of course, Juliet, which leads us to a fact that I think you'll agree you'll not have been able to live without. The band The Four Pennies, who had a UK number one in 1964 with Juliet, were led by the former husband of Ben Fogle's mum. It's true, doesn't deserve to be in the show, but it's true. For K, we've moved away from the NATO phonetic alphabet. Just seemed the easiest way to lose a kilo. And instead... I think that's tenuous. Wait for the one that comes at the end of this routine. Yes, we've gone for the pleasurable subject of kissing. Yes, as we all know, kissing can be an act of betrayal, as we know from the timeless work I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus. Given how natural the act is, though, it's perhaps surprising that only one major species of mammal shares the same appetite for kissing that we do. And that is...
Pigeons.
Otters. Camels. Dolphins. Koalas.
Chimpanzees is the closest, but more specifically... Several of you have said bonobo. It is the bonobo, the pygmy chimpanzee. It's by far our closest relation, mimicking our sexual behaviour, meaning that for humans and bonobos respectively, the Democratic Republic of Congo is best known as the home of the rumble in the jungle and of the fumble in the jungle. I did warn you. L is for Limerick. In one of my impulsive acts, I alphabetized lots of facts. I put way too much in it for 26 minutes, thus it was Lyches that got the axe. M is for Mozambique. Mozambique is the only country in the world whose single word name contains all five vowels. If Mozambique, however, struggles with its tourist image, Perhaps they should look at the fact that it's the only national flag featuring a... AK-47. They feature an AK-47 on their flag, which incidentally is not to be confused with AKB-48, the Japanese pop group who are the fifth best-selling girl group in history. Spice Girls number one, go us. And the Nolans, would you believe, in an extraordinarily high 12th place. This fact, by the way, comes with a caveat that they've actually officially lost count of the number of records sold by the Supremes. I'm sure this is an accidental diminishment of the achievements of women of colour in the music industry, and it's an aberration and not anything more sinister. N is for national anthems. Which famous pop star recorded the most commercially successful version of the Star Spangled Banner?
Lady Gaga.
No one's got it yet.
Beyonce.
Marilyn
Monroe. Elvis
Presley. It combines the constituency of David Cameron with the city most related to George W. Bush.
Whitney Houston.
That's right. To consolidate on an acclaimed performance at the Super Bowl in 1991, she then went on to have an even bigger hit in the aftermath of September the 11th, 2001. But these cover versions have to be done with care. When Igor Stravinsky conducted his own version of the Star Spangled Banner in Boston in 1944, he was threatened with arrest if he ever repeated the performance. Does anyone know why?
Get the words wrong.
He had an extra dominant seventh chord. It goes without saying that O stands for Olympic Decathletes from the USA. Why? Well, it's obvious. The 1912 champion, Jim Thorpe, went on to be one of the great Olympic cause célèbre, the first Native American to win Olympic gold for the USA, who lost his title on some fairly spurious grounds of professionalism, only to have his medal returned 30 years after his death. Dr. Tom Waddell, who competed in the 1968 Summer Olympics, founded the Gay Olympics in 1982, now known as the Gay Games. Incidentally, the first Gay Games featured basketball, rowing, sailing, triathlon, and using a much younger photo on your Grindr profile. I shall treasure that bronze. And then there's Rafer Johnson. Rafer Johnson passed away in 2020. He's best known for what he did in 1960. It was the year of his Olympic gold medal. But the same year, the actor Kirk Douglas asked him if he'd play an Ethiopian slave in the film Spartacus, in the scene where Kirk Douglas and an Ethiopian slave fight each other to the death. Wary of the Jim Thorpe affair, Rafer Johnson heeded warnings from the American Athletics Association about professionalism. He forsook a role in a Stanley Kubrick film to win Olympic gold. No, I forsook a role in a Stanley Kubrick film to win Olympic gold. That's not even his most remarkable achievement. 8 years later, outside the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, Rafer Johnson apprehended a man called Sirhan Sirhan moments after he'd assassinated Robert Kennedy. As an Ethiopian slave fighting Kirk Douglas to death, he would have had a license to kill. As a member of Robert Kennedy's security staff, essentially, he had a license to kill. Can anyone tell me in which 1989 James Bond film did the Olympic decathlon champion Rafer Johnson play a DEA agent called Mullane?
License to kill.
P is for Paul Loves Art. It is frequently said on The Chase by Bradley Walsh that Paul loves art. This always makes me smile because it sounds like an explanation for Simon and Garfunkel's enduring success. But I do love my art, even if I don't always understand it. My favourite painter is many people's favourite painter, Caravaggio, which leads me to possibly my all-time favourite quiz question. Caravaggio was the first of 21 people, or possibly 23, depending on which list you read, to do or achieve what?
Murder?
it's a very optimistic view on life, that is. But, you're almost right, actually. He was actually the first person to murder, is correct. But you need two words after that.
Harmonic.
He's the first person to murder Sean Bean on screen. Yes, yeah, so the Derek Jarman drama, film drama Caravaggio. The character is the first of 21/23 characters to murder Sean Bean. An observation that contains lightness and darkness in equal measure. We now move on to Q. I've gone with Queen, but specifically a member of the British royal family that you're unlikely to have heard of. Queen Caroline Matilda of Great Britain. Unknown in Britain, but extremely well known in Scandinavia. Her story combines elements of Rah-Rah Rasputin and Blackadder III. In 1766, at the age of 15, this granddaughter of George II married King Christian VII of both Denmark and Norway, while her uncle, King George III of England, suffered serious mental illness. But so did her husband. Her husband, the King of Norway and Denmark, had his own personal physician, the German Johann Struensee, and he attended to his every need. As the King's mental health deteriorated, the Queen fell in love with Germany's greatest love machine and began a relationship. By 1770, the Kingdom of Denmark and Norway was suddenly being run by a glorified GP, but with genuine ambitions to improve society. Among the 1,069 cabinet orders he issued in the next 2 years were abolition of torture, a ban on the slave trade in Denmark and colonies, abolition of noble privileges, the criminalisation of bribery, only awarding honorary titles of those with actual achievements. I know what you're thinking. Where is this guy and can we exhume him now? Well, I'm sorry to say that predictably enough, this story has a sorry end. Because of his liberal agenda, he made one disastrous error. He abolished censorship of the press. The press obviously behaved in a grateful and honourable way. They led a national campaign to have him executed, and he was. Fortunately, this story about freedom of the press has nothing whatsoever to teach us. R is for Russia Today. The propaganda outlet founded for the Russian government and its foreign policy, which genuinely has the slogan, Question More, but is best known for its holiday show, 22 Cathedral Cities to Visit Before You Die. S is for Socrates, the philosopher, who at his trial for which he was subsequently sentenced to death, famously said, the unexamined life is not worth living. That's all I know about him. T... T is for travel, and the international rugby player who's travelled further than any other international rugby player. I mean, I know you know this. Can anyone name them? I've asked a lot of rugby experts if they don't know who Anne McLean is. Anne McLean. She was born in Spokane. She was born in the state of Washington and served in the US Army. And in 2018, she flew to the International Space Station. But when she was in the International Space Station, her wife accused her of having illegally accessed financial information whilst in the International Space Station. And in that one moment, rugby international Anne McLean became the first ever person to be accused of committing space crime. But also, because she'd been in the closet, she then became the first ever openly gay astronaut. Unbelievably, this never comes up in quizzes. Surely I wouldn't be cheap enough to combine U and V in one go. Ultraviolet is a 2017 Polish language TV series that was nominated for an award at the Serial Killer Festival. Like me, I suspect, you're disgusted to learn that there's an actual Serial Killer Festival taking place annually in Central and Eastern Europe. However, this is actually an international festival of killer serials, i.e. really good TV shows. Here's hoping that nobody gets confused and the attendees are mostly lonely women hoping to pass a red nose and a scented love letter to a prison officer. Oh. Honestly, did you think with Ultraviolet I was going to be talking about rays? I'd never be so predictable. X-rays are the discovery by which Wilhelm Conrad Röntgen won the first ever Nobel Prize in Physics. Although his first names were Wilhelm Conrad, he's not to be confused with William Conrad. He was best known for the detective series Canon, but for me, what he should be best known for is his versatility of narrating the conceptually identical shows The Fugitive and The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Why is for you? Yes, you. And me. Or indeed anybody. The winner of Time Magazine's Person of the Year for 2006 was you. You think that was a cop-out? I've checked 2006. The alternatives were Gnarls Barkley and Bill Nye for loving up a particularly pretty tedious Pirates of the Caribbean film. And Zed, of course, is for ZZ Top. More legendary in quizzes than in music, on the grounds that two of their members have extravagant beards, and the one that doesn't is called Frank Beard. That gets asked about all the time. The fact that Billy Gibbons is not a gibbon, and Dusty Hill has a very clear-throated voice, and Frank Beard is actually one of the most dishonest men in the history of rock music, that irony never gets talked about. And this vaguely quirky irony that even Alanis Morissette would have rejected as a bit too dull for my song gets trotted out in British quizzes year after year after year. So I present to you, to close my show, my other alternatives. The late Keith Moon is the only member of the classic lineup of The Who that doesn't share his first name with a male tennis player who's won at least three Wimbledons since 1981. That's Roger Daltrey Federer, Pete Townsend Sampras, and John Entwistle McEnroe. No? If you didn't like that one, you cannot be serious. The two remaining members of Bros, the Goss brothers, Matthew and Luke, not only wrote great songs, but arguably the two greatest gospels of all time. If you want to tell Matthew and Luke apart, Luke acts. The Pet Shop Boys, Neil and Chris, share their first names with the Hamiltons. Lucky them. Three members of One Direction, Harry, Louis and Zayn, represent Meghan Markle's husband, Meghan Markle's nephew and the character she played in Suits. And finally, if you take the four members of the band The Smiths, that is Morrissey, Johnny Marr, Andy Rourke and Mike Joyce, you'll realise that only one of them is a racist. Ladies and gentlemen, I really hope you like facts. If not, this has been a complete waste of our time. That I choose to do it alphabetically today was simply to put the editing skills of my producer to their severest test. I hope it's been a fun ride. Thank you and good night. Paul Sinha's General Knowledge was written and performed by Paul Sinha, with additional material by Oliver Levy. The producer was Ed Morris. It was a Lead Mojo Something Else co-production for BBC Radio 4.
The Archers follows the news.